Welcome to the Agents Lounge Podcast, where we talk all things real estate with the industry's top performers. Join us as we dive into the inspiring journeys of successful agents and uncover the secrets to their success. Whether you're a seasoned agent or just starting out, we got the tips and tricks to help you navigate the world of real estate. Brought to you by Airtegrity Comfort Solutions. So grab a seat and join us in the Agents Lounge.
All right, welcome back to episode 7 of the Agents Lounge podcast. I am your host, Nathan Gaylor, with my co-host, Francisco Bermudez Jr.
Hello, everyone.
And we have a guest today, Javier Alonso, the owner of Floor Coverings International.
Hello, guys.
And the focus of today's episode, Sharon Ames, a realtor with Caldwell Bankers.
Hello.
So before we start, what is the most sporadic thing you've ever done?
Real estate.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. That's a good segue. So
It comes and goes, yeah.
Yeah. So what were you doing before you got into real estate?
You know, I was an accountant for 25 years. That's all I knew. Sitting in a little cubicle and punching my little computer and doing numbers and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how much I hated it until I got out.
Well, okay. What made you make that jump then?
Well, because I was working in Dallas, and I have two sons that live down here in San Antonio, and they kept asking me, when are you moving down here? When are you moving down here? And so I surprised them one day, and I said, I'm moving down there within the year. I'm selling the house, and I'll be down there in a year. And but he said, great. I sold the house. And within that year, because I had to still work full-time, I went to real estate school. I had to think about what I wanted to do whenever I got down there. So I took a real estate course, one every month, because there's like, I think there's 9 courses, if I remember correctly. And I took one every month, so it took me 9 months to graduate. But normal people, it takes about 9 weeks.
Yeah.
So I...
You kind of paced it out?
I paced it out, yeah. Plus, I'd been out of school for a long time. It's like, how am I going to learn some of this stuff? I walked into this.
Isn't that kind of crazy? Like, I've experienced the same thing. Like, I went back and tried to just read an old book on the old textbook for, like, international stuff. But, I mean, we've talked about it before. And now I'm, like, on my reading level as so drastically down. Like, I have to read the same thing twice and 3 times maybe.
Uh-huh.
So, I can relate to that.
Yeah, I went and got the manual that I was taking the course with the next month. I would go and get my book, which is about 300 pages long. And I would sit there at Starbucks and I'd drink coffee and I'd read and I'd highlight and I'd do all this stuff. I'd get through the manual before you can start the class. And the class only lasted 4 days. So, yeah, you had to learn it.
That's interesting. That's something no one has brought up yet. So, that's no, we have yet to touch on the preparation of actually taking the real estate to get a license.
It is. Yeah, and then the test.
So were you like well prepared for it? Is there anything that caught you off guard while you were doing that?
I don't think anybody's prepared for it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I thought people were kidding me. When you walk in to take the exam and there's certain institutions that will give that exam, mm-hmm. and they when you take the exam, you walk into this building along with other 15 or 20 students, and you have to unload all your belongings. You can take nothing in. All your hair has to be loose. No hairpins, no nothing, because they don't want you to cheat.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, it's like the SAT is almost done. I know. So you go in there, and you work off of the computer, and they just tell you whether you pass or fail. But however, the lady at the end, she said, she whispered what my score was, so I was quite pleased with it.
Yeah, so you went from debiting and crediting accounts. So how did you end up in real estate? Why real estate?
I just wanted to be out in the public. I wanted to talk to people, not be roped into a cubicle.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have anyone that helped you get started? Did you have like an introduction, or you just like
yeah.
you looked it up and be like, yeah, I'm gonna do this.
Yeah. That was pretty much it.
Really?
Well, I had had, you know, had hoped that I could get into real estate later on in life. It was something I kind of really wanted to do.
Yeah.
But as we get further into this podcast, you just don't go to school and immediately make money, but okay.
Yeah, no, that's right. So that kind of makes me want to ask you, so like, I would imagine hard for people not to have connections starting a new venture. So even real estate, you have four coverings and a natural over here. You came here. So can you tell us a little bit about your background just for the people who's listening?
But I want to make a pause and say that I don't think you were the right fit to do accounting.
No.
We've talked for 5 minutes and you don't come off as an accountant. I said, meaning you belong out there, right? It's just you're super open and it's super cool that people find their true calling, even though they have done something different before. Right?
And I have had people tell me that, and I'd look at them and I'm thinking, they must be crazy.
Well, I've met with a lot of bookkeepers and stuff, and you are way more extroverted than them, so that gets some second mouse.
Yeah. Also, now that you bring that up, a lot of bookkeepers not talking any trash of it, but actually they're more introverted, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're a little more timid, I would say.
Yeah, they kind of concentrate on their work and not too much of social butterflies and stuff. But
yeah,
I'm very, very, very happy that you found
what. I talked to a lot, whenever I was in accounting, I was in hotel accounting, so I talked to general managers and stuff like that at hotels. And sometimes my supervisor would say, you shouldn't tell them that. Don't talk so much. So anyway.
Yep. But so I can relate 100%, right? So you came from Dallas and started a new career, right? I did kind of the same, but just a longer drive.
Ready.
I came from South America.
Caracas.
Yeah, Caracas, Venezuela, right? So we moved here in 2015 in December and started a business in mid-March of 2016. And it's been a blessing. It's been hard, right? Because when you own a small business, and I would say anybody that works in real estate has a small business, right?
We do.
You lead with customers. You need to acquire leads. It's kind of the same thing, right? It just differs by size, but it's connections are everything, right?
That is everything.
And if you are good at being social and being able to talk to people, it's an easier pathway, right? So. I've been called that I have no shame. So, I thought I'd turn this off. I'm sorry, guys. It's all about being out there and talking to new people and trying to connect, right? So,
yeah,
it was a little hard because I moved a 6-month-old baby and on the way, right? It was that baby, my oldest daughter, Ala. We were here with about 11 suitcases, and we started a business. We were a little crazy, but it went well. It's still here.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Don't be. It's not that impressive. I made a lot of mistakes.
As part of the process, 100%. Kind of piggybacking off what you said, what are some of the bigger challenges that you faced since you started real estate coming here from Dallas? Maybe in the beginning,
in the beginning, I was a real estate agent in Dallas, but I really didn't practice it in Dallas. I didn't get until I got down here in San Antonio to start practicing it. So once I started it, the following year, I joined late, 2020, and then 21 was COVID, right?
20 was COVID. Yeah, 2020.
Okay, so it was 19. At the end of 2019, I got with Caldwell Banker, D.N. Harper Realtors. And then in 2020, you know, I have no customers. COVID hit. We all have to sit at home now. And, you know, I didn't do that much. I did a lot of home rentals, but as far as not any listings or any sellings or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was hard. And I just feel like I've only gotten started for 2 years now.
Yeah. It was like 2020 was definitely hard on everyone, but like following that, the market just went bananas. I know. So like 21 was crazy. I remember I tried to buy my first house in 21 and it was impossible. Like,
yes.
And I was like offering a little bit over, but not too much. And then there would be literally immediately somebody else going 20, 30 grand above me.
Yeah.
My offer. And then I was just like, there's literally nothing I can do.
That is true.
Right. But yeah. So COVID was hard. I would say a lot of businesses.
It was. It was hard for a lot of businesses.
Not so. Our plumbers or electricians.
No,
out of business during COVID.
Yeah, it is. Cause there's,
oh, yeah.
People were actually in their houses. They were looking at what they had in their houses and wanted to replace it, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That, I usually think about my questions beforehand, but do you use like any new technology as far as just like improving your reach? I guess maybe obviously the social media is an obvious one, but like AI maybe is like a huge topic now. Do you use AI at all for like maybe?
Like chat?
Yeah, like ChatGPT, for example.
I've just gotten started into ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it is... With real estate agents, it really helps come up with ideas to describe a house.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take their wording because it's all, they don't know the home like I do.
Yeah.
But it really helps to make a fantastic description help so that you can put it in the real estate MLS system.
Yeah.
And put the message out there.
Yeah, I think it can be used in any sector now.
It can.
Right? Like... kids are using it for their papers and stuff. And have you had any experience with this, Javier?
No, but this is awesome. Like, I never thought that you would use ChatGPT to describe a home. But I mean, you
pretend like it.
Well, that is awesome. We own a franchise, right? So most of my content is managed by our franchisor. So I don't have that creativity that I can put out there.
Yeah,
but I do see that Cass is definitely using it, right? He writes too much. Cass is one of our business developers.
Okay.
So he's just like you, a social butterfly. He goes out there, talks to everybody, knows everybody. So I can definitely see that tool working, right? It's something to look at. I think it's going to change a whole bunch of stuff in the next few years, right?
Yeah, it's kind of dangerous, I think, because I've used it to respond to difficult emails or texts before.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, that literally like kind of just turns off that part of your brain and does the critical thinking, in my opinion.
It does. I agree with that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's an extension of what Google was for us, like, 5 years ago. And now you have an extension in which does more, it's more detailed and there's more mm-hmm. things personally, like, yeah, it's pretty intense.
It is, but I also think it needs to be controlled.
Yeah, that's going to be a future discussion. It's already in discussion.
I know.
Corporations and government and stuff like that, right?
So, uh-huh.
But I'll harness it back in. Frank, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No. I mean, I use it as well. It helps put my thoughts in writing, so...
Yeah. You just put like a bunch of random words. That's like almost like a Scrabble, but random words. And you're like, make a sentence out of it.
Well, I see the use like from other companies that I've talked to, right? All of these customer service part, right? Where you'll have automated chatbots that talk to your customer when you're not there, right? Chat for your website and stuff. Yeah. If they have a question about the home. And even text, right? We get a lead and we respond to it, right? We're a small company. But some other companies that I've seen out there, they have those leads that come in through text or through the website. And AI has helped them reach or answer those questions and get better reach to their customers. Right? So it eliminates, we call it slippage, but it's where... You have somebody interested and you can't get to it and it slips through your funnel and you can't get it to an opportunity.
Yeah.
They I've seen it be in this company, they use AI to respond with. Because we're not always, sometimes we're on a podcast and you can't answer
your question. But yeah, it has the ability to be more specialized instead of just being like that generic kind of stuff that we're used to, and now it's changing. It's pretty crazy. So what is your go-to for building relationships with clients?
Well, I know that whenever I first moved to San Antonio, I'm a big Starbucks fan. So I went into Starbucks every day and I met these people there and they asked me to join them at the big table. And so I went over and you just start talking to people. And there are some days I have a little note thing on my iPad and I go in there and read and I'll just, you know, have a note hanging on the back of it. If you want to talk to real estate, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. A few people have done that. You just wear a shirt with your logo on it.
Yeah.
You meet them everywhere and talk to them while you're in a long line at Sam's, wherever.
Yeah. You take opportunities everywhere.
Yes. And even, I'll get back to Starbucks, you buy the coffee behind you, their coffee.
No, yeah.
So that starts a conversation while you're waiting for coffee.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So,
and if they blend notebook.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just you got. Everybody needs to know what you do, right? The way small business grows.
Yeah. What about you? You have any?
Well, we acquire leads in a sense. We have lead aggregators that we buy. Most famous one is HomeAdvisor, for example. And AgisList. We do PPC and some website stuff, but we are very active on making connections with people, right? So on the personal level, I'm very out there whenever I go, wherever I go to a party, and people do know that I do floors. They might not need floors, but they will know they met a Florida, right?
Yeah.
Happens everywhere, right? But on the business side, we do a lot of visiting businesses, right? So we would go to your office. We've been there before.
You that?
And we just bring in a whole bunch of boxes of baked goods, right? That's our style. We bring sweets.
Yeah.
With our logo, I just kind of, in a sense, we solicit, right?
Yeah,
in a good sense, right? We solicit trying to establish a legend. And if you...
So like push out of the door?
Well, yes. But remember I told you my dad is from Galicia. So Galicians, Spanish, from there are known to be very stubborn.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Did you hear it?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, my kids, too, that's a pro. So, but I go back, right? It's the job of the gatekeeper to keep the people there. But just the same as you, everybody needs to know that I do floors. Everybody needs to know that you do real estate.
Yes, I give out business cards. I give out pens. I give out anything I have in my purse. You know?
Yeah. So you have a goodie bag always on you.
In my purse, I have a lot of magnetic business cards.
Really?
Yeah, and I tell people, like yesterday I did an open house at a place in Cipolo and I gave them bottles of water with some magnetic business cards with a water flavor in there. And I said, yeah, the business card is magnetic, so you'll be able to see my face every day if you put it up on your refrigerator.
I hope you get good.
Yeah.
So a question that I'm pretty curious about is that how do you stay informed about the ever-changing markets and regulations, maybe?
Well, I'm very fortunate to work for a brokerage company that we do training all the time. I think that's very important. We have in-classroom trainings. We had about what new laws are, how to fill out a contract. I mean, everything, what the latest sales stats are.
Yeah.
It's deals with a lot.
Yeah. Are we talking weekly here?
Well, we have our regular training meetings, it's not regular. You just sign up for the course and it'll be in your office. If you want to go, you can go.
I know.
But we do have weekly sales meetings. Yes. But you're knowledgeable.
Yeah. So we had somebody here, two people from EXP. So there's a difference here as in...
There is.
What would you say is a good pro for having a brokerage like Caldwell?
Well, because we really, I know eXp has a lot of training. They do have it available. That's for the type of people or person, real estate agent. They like listening to online training versus going in person to training.
Yeah,
it's whichever you prefer, really. So I'm not going to say theirs is bad, and they're probably not going to say ours are bad. It's just what you prefer.
Yeah, and it's good to hear somebody that is an outsider from the MSP to actually like analyze it a little bit. Personal reflection here, like I could never pass an online, strictly online course. I feel like I would have to have an office. I like the interactions. I like the team building.
I do too. And that's, I went to classes while I got my real estate license. You could do the online, but I wanted to go in person. I think you learn more from the questions from others in the room.
Yes. So. Something more tangible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So what's some advice or maybe just one piece of advice that you would give someone who is maybe considering starting to maybe want to jump into the real estate industry?
Well, you really want to start on a full-time basis because you've got to spend time building your business. I think that's one of the biggest trainings that you need to have for yourself. Work with a good brokerage that will help you with the trainings and know what you're doing. Because when you go to take the courses to become a real estate agent, you're only learning a law. It's not teaching you to become one.
Yeah.
So once you become one, you've got to be out there in the public. But however, it's not an instant money-making business. You've got to learn to get those clients. And I'm sure you have met up with that, Amir. And you've got to go out there and build up your clientele, which means you've got to have either savings to live on, meaning you can get that clientele built up, or a husband or a partner to lean on. You just got to, it's got to take time to build.
Right. I've come across, definitely since I started doing this, is a lot of people do start up part-time. And that's also another interesting perspective from you. I think to say you just got to like try to do what you can to jump headfirst into it instead of like easing your way into it. I mean, like you did it first instance. You were like, peace out to your accounting job. You're like, I'm doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very difficult. I went into our office. I don't go into the office every day now. I work a lot from home.
Yeah.
But I would go into the office just to hear the experienced real estate agents and find out what they are doing and how they did it and learn a lot there.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So my favorite question to ask is basically like, do you have a memorable bad experience with a client? And like, how did you work through it? What did you do to appease? Did you? Maybe you can take a moment too, because that's not an easy one.
I'm speechless. I have nothing.
Javier, you have anything? Difficult customers.
Well, we work on improvement, right?
Yeah, of course.
And I guess anybody that works with people, right? Moments where there are discrepancies into the opinion of everybody involved, right? I just like you guys that work in AC, right? Flooring is something vital for the home. And I would say there are too many occasions where we make mistakes and we don't manage it right. And I'm talking about not only the industry, but I want to make a conscious look at what we do, right? And in our case, we get measured in a way by Google, right? When you get Google reviews and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you go to our Google reviews, you'll see 4.7. It used to be 4.8. I'll tell you that story in a minute. It means that we're not 100% perfect, right?
Yeah.
When you're 4.8 with 100 and something reviews, it means you have made somebody feel not great. And the way we manage that is the way you build a long-lasting relationship with homeowners, right?
Yeah.
So kind of the same thing in real estate, right? We all make mistakes. We might do something that we miss something, and the other way you manage it is how it goes. But in back to that story, right? We're 4.8 with 136 reviews, and then I get a review on a Sunday morning, 4.1. And I look at the name of the person that gives you that review, and I don't know. I mean, we've grown, but I technically know everybody that we do business with, right?
Yeah.
So I go into my CRM and try to find who that person is, and I can't find him. So then I actually read the review, and she's complaining about a competitor. So I got a review on my Google page that's talking about Lowe's, right? And they hired somebody to do their floors. It wasn't us. It was Lowe's, and it stayed there, and we've tried to take it down. It's still there, and we've tried to talk to the person who did that. It's still there, but I actually feel it's a good thing because that actually shows, and I was going to relate to this at a moment, that you got to do this 100%. If you want to succeed in something, you got to count, burn the bridges. And
you do.
And do it all in, right? And the information you get from being next to people that are successful, right? Success typically leaves nuggets behind, right? So if you are part-time and you're not going into the office every day, even all on the part-time, you get to miss experiences that will prevent you from having something very, very bad happen to you and become one of these stories about screw-ups or weird situations, right? But I think the podcast is PG, right? So I can't give you but some of those.
We had a little offline. No, it's edited before it goes out.
So I know, I'll go for it.
Not at all. It's a character.
Yeah, it's just in home book, but everything is. It's weird, right? But I'll tell you, I'm done. Yeah, then I'll show up online. But, I'll tell you a simple one, right? I went to a house in Castroville when I was starting, and the homeowner had a cat. The cat thought it was a dog.
Oh, really?
And I opened the door, and the cat was on a leash, and he wasn't getting close to me. I did my thing, kind of went, talked to them, see what they wanted, and went out to the car to grab my samples. We're doing all shopping. So you bring the samples into the home. And I opened the door without knocking. And the whole house is probably doing the dishes. So about 40 feet away from me in Castroville, that cat thought he was protecting the home, and he started running on a laminate floor. You can see it slipping, but he was getting traction. And I'm big and slow and a bit of a wuss. So I was scared. Like, I didn't want to hit the cat with my samples, but I was trying to protect me, right? And the homeowner was like in a slow motion going, no. So I got bit and scratched by a cat for about 10 minutes before the homeowner could take it off of me, right? But who was protecting the home? So,
wow.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but it's what we get when we go in home.
You ever see cats are more aggressive than dogs?
Oh, yeah.
They've not ever seen that to me.
They do go to the field.
It's like you're not going in the field yet. But it gives you a whole bunch of stories. Right? I don't know if it happens to you. When you go meet people, you go back home and you talk to your spouse and to your friends, and you got a ton of stories that are enriching to your, how interesting you are, right? And you get to tell this story about this cat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did a consultation once, 8:30 at night on a Friday. We pitch on the kitchen table. So we talk to homeowners on the kitchen table, and we do a small presentation. They had about a 280-pound pit bull.
Oh, dear.
And the pit bull showed up under the table and put his face, probably this big, on my lap. Mm-hmm. And he was growling. While I was trying to pitch, right, we have a laptop, and I'm like shaking, right? And I go like, well, we are part of this company. And the homeowner finds out that I'm nervous because I'm hearing him, right? Yeah. And he says, don't worry, sir. He's just infatuated with English cheddar. Really? There's a bowl in the kitchen table. Grab one and feed him. And we can talk all night long. He won't get pissed. I was feeding him cheese. Mm-hmm. Pit bull was eating cheese off of my lap. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, he never touched my fingers. He was so delicate, right? But he just wanted cheese. So kind of crazy stories about all my
food. I don't think I've met that story before, but, you know, there are some, you know, you meet people with their pets and their dogs and stuff like that, but I've never met an aggressive pet so far.
Just a cat. In my opinion, just a cat. The dog wasn't aggressive. He just wanted cheese.
He just wanted
cheese. A dog will bark at you. a cat, you'll never see it coming.
This
is true. They'll come to the side and so your eyes, like, you already getting scratched. And a dog will always kind of warn you.
Yep. They're trying to protect, right? Both of them, I guess, right? They're just minding their territory and then you're a stranger, right? Dogs are more mellow, right? They tend to...
Yeah, cats.
Cats are a little weird.
Oh, well, yes. The cats are like little assassins. But I never encountered that, like, an aggressive cat. I've encountered so many dogs that, like, will be kind of aggressive, but never a cat.
Mostly chihuahuas, I guess, on the dog.
Little ankle biters. Yeah.
Part of what we do, right? We go into a house and you find that they have exactly the same, I guess, feelings and goals and aspirations as, I don't know. I tend to hear that we're so different, but we all go into houses, right? So when you open the door, we're the same. It's just everybody's got kids, pets. They love their own. They work hard. It's just, it's almost the same. It's just repeatable, but also reassuring that when you're going somewhere that you don't know the person at that place, it is reassuring. Well, when you just say, they're just like you.
But they are.
And Sharon, I have a question for you. I feel like the real estate environment has changed so much. I bought a home in 2016, I think. Bidding on bidding wars on every home that we went out to bid. And then we had...
Was that last year?
Well, that was in 2016.
Okay.
And then I feel like this year, there's so many issues with the mortgages and stuff like that. I feel like the mortgage industry is changing a lot. What would you advise somebody that's on the fence or wants to buy a home? What would be the biggest things to overcome right now?
Yeah, I feel like a common one. Sorry, I'm not trying to interrupt.
No.
A lot of people, I feel like they have a mindset of trying to wait until the interest rates come down or maybe there's a housing market.
And you're noticing I'm laughing. That they didn't just trade coming down a little. You know, a lot of people are really bothered by the fact that interest rates are anywhere from 6.50 to 7%, maybe a little bit higher than 7%. But before COVID, I mean, I guess we went into that thing where interest rates got really, really low. Actually, 6.50 to 7% is a normal interest rate. That's normal. What's abnormal is when it went down to 3 and 4%. That was where, if I bought my first house in Dallas, I paid 7.5% interest on it.
Yeah.
It was normal. And so a lot of people are thrown by the fact, oh my God, it's so high. It's normal. It's normal. And what I also tell them, if you like this house and you want to buy it now. And if the rates come down, refinance it.
Yeah.
Refinance it.
What about, do you have any, like, ball of fortune about the future of housing prices? You think they're going to stagnate? You think they're going to keep climbing or drop?
I have a client that lives out of San Antonio area, and him and his wife want to move to New Braunfels. So they come up there, and they've looked at houses and new houses and stuff like that. And he said, I'm going to wait until the prices come down. I want a new house to be come down to $100,000 before I'll buy it.
Oh boy,
it's not going to happen. I mentioned that probably wouldn't happen, but I don't push it on him. He said, "Well, I look at the internet every day." Okay, I hope you find something. Just call and let me know. And I do call him.
Yeah,
and he's waiting for that $100,000 drop.
Is that advice you're giving related to where we're geographically located? Just because I chose San Antonio because the economy tends to be a little more stable than other markets. Is that like Vegas? You got Vegas, some Florida, some Maryland or Virginia properties, right? That they fluctuate too much. San Antonio tends to be
more stable. It's stable and it's steady. And but as far as going down, it will come down some, but not a great deal. it's not going to happen.
That's a good observation, Javier.
So I remember my parents bought a home in South Florida probably 95. Mm-hmm. And I've had this dream about buying it back, right? They sold it when we just all got married and stuff, right? It was our summer place to go from Venezuela. We spent summers in Florida. And I had this dream about buying it again. I think they paid $129,000 for a floor plan of 4-bedroom, 3-bath, 2-story in Doral, Florida. If you look at that house today, it's
in this 2-year build,
$380,000.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's after the 2008 meltdown that we had on real estate. So I would say I'm with you. We gotta. When it's time for you to purchase a home, purchase it, because prices don't tend to go down.
No.
It could be a fluctuation, but yeah, it just.
I just suggest to people, if you really want the home and you want to own a home, go ahead and pay the 6.5-7% interest rate. Stay in it for a few years. Interest rate will come down, not a lot, but you can always refinance.
Mm-hmm.
And even get a few extra bucks to do recoveries.
Is that right, new AC?
Hell yeah. Thank you for that. Last question. We ran a little longer than we usually go, which is fine because it's been a great conversation for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all do anything as far as community involvement goes?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I do work with the New Braunfels every month, New Braunfels Food Bank.
Nice.
We go up there, a lot of my other realtors, we go up there and we work 4 or 5 hours.
Okay. Nice.
We are by contract and our franchise tied to the Robert Dahl House, and also on Shaw has this great program where we sell carpet cushion. So that carpet cushion, some of the profits go to St. Jude's, right?
Okay.
And
nine.
And every year we are either gold or platinum on, because we, and this is, I don't know if this is good or bad for my business, but you will be in a consultation with us and we will push those bats to you because we believe in them, right?
Yeah.
We have kids, so it's kind of very important for us that St. Jude, what St. Jude does. But locally, we work with Habitat for Humanity, right?
Yeah.
And we help. We used to know he's not there anymore, but he used to be the head of Habitat for a few years, and we've helped build some houses. And it's the least we can say, at least for me being an immigrant, right?
That's fantastic.
I'm happy to be here, and I'll help anybody that I can.
Well,
you know.
Any last remarks, Frank? Do you have questions?
No, thank you.
Javier, Sharon, thank you all for coming in, taking time out of y'all's schedule to be with us. That will do it for episode 7 of the Agents Lounge podcast. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Agents Lounge podcast, brought to you by Airtegrity Comfort Solutions. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or to listen to past episodes, please visit agentsloungepodcast.com.